G'day, Evan. How are you, mate?
Very good, Bino. Very good. Just putting the final preparations on coming back to Australia tonight. So just coming down from a pretty epic Masters week, wrapping up some US stuff and then coming home, mate. So it's all going well.
Nothing better is there than that flight into, well, Sydney in particular, over the harbour. Just warms the heart, doesn't it? But let's talk Masters fallout. And I was just seeing that the CBS ratings in the States, Evan, down 20%, at least with Sunday, year on year. So down 20% from last year. What do you make of all that?
I think it's into the bigger picture, you know. I think that overall, interest in pro golf, watching pro golf at least, is declining, not only with the fracturing of LIV Golf and the PGA Tour, but also just the viewership model is kind of changing. People are consuming YouTube golf as just the biggest thing in the world. These blokes are making literally hundreds of thousands of dollars per month, just going to tour players' home courses, filming really cool behind-the-scenes content with them, having matches against these pros in their own kind of candid settings. And I think just, you know, over time, ratings are declining. The really concerning thing is the Masters is sort of held as this buffer zone between everything else that's going on in pro golf. All the PGA Tour events are down this year, particularly the Players' Championship, which is one of the big ones that's not a major. And we always sort of think that the Masters is going to be a safety blanket. And for that to be down 20% from last year and the lowest since 2021, it's pretty concerning. Very, very concerning. It kind of speaks to the shift in the way people are watching golf. And the fact that there's just no real marketable stars, really. Yeah. You know, like ever since... basically, Cam Smith, you know, you've got to have two things in pro golf to be a big star. You've got to be a good player to the results to back it up. And you have to have a hook. And you know, 2 years ago, Cam Smith had a hook. It was the mullet. He was the Aussie who didn't give an F and was just your beer-drinking Queenslander with a nice mullet. And he was winning and putting better than anyone else on the planet and winning majors. So Scottie Scheffler, great player, but just doesn't have that hook that people can get into. And all the broadcasters all week were just, you know, basically saying it was a fait accompli that he was going to win the Masters. And I think people just tuned out. Like, they just saw the one-shot lead after 54 holes and just said, oh, he's going to win it. Probably no point watching golf tomorrow. So, yeah, a little bit concerning.
Yeah, just I want to read you this text from Ringers. This is probably more, I'd say, for people outside of America. But Ringer says, I've seen some commentary around the Masters coverage and some punters not happy with the vision bias shown towards certain golfers. Maybe had viewers switching off. It is infuriating at times, though, isn't it? How it does seem they just sit on two or three players for long periods of time.
Yeah, Mido, that's a really good point. You know, the CBS producers and whatnot, CBS is the main broadcaster of the Masters, basically always has been, and they pick their favourites. And, you know, they're usually the quintessential American players, your Jordan Spieth, your Xander Schauffele's, now Scottie Scheffler is your, you know, all-American Texan. And sometimes that's kind of offside with what the viewer wants. The viewer wants a bit of a snapshot of every player on the course. And even Max Homer, who's quite a big star, they're not showing really enough of him. You know, he hasn't cracked that superstar mold yet where they base their numbers on what they think the viewers want, and they still haven't got it right. And I'd 100% agree with that pun of it. You know, you absolutely got to show more than just Xander Schauffele and Scottie Scheffler. There's got to be more to it.
I've got an idea, boys. Why don't we send Scottie Scheffler to a weekend away with Conor McGregor to spice him up a bit? And then, you know, then people might want to watch him. Imagine him walking on the course with the Conor McGregor walk.
Couldn't think of two blokes more different, probably.
Throw him in a pub and see what happens. Now, Evan, on a serious note, mate.
Talking cheap.
Rory McIlroy has denied rumours. He's possibly going to LIV Golf for $850 million. Was there any possibility that could have happened, mate?
Zero, Josh. Absolutely zero. You know, like, if... of all the players, and I'm at a point where nothing in this LIV Golf PGA Tour divide would surprise me, you know, particularly after John Rahm went. That was a real bell ringer. But more, Rory McIlroy is the one who I can confidently bet the house on that would absolutely not go to LIV. He cares too much about, you know, his legacy and what people think of him. He's self-aware of how much he's, you know, been vocal against LIV Golf. He's previously said if it was the only professional golf tour in the world, he would retire. He literally said that word for word. So these reports, you know, like the English rumour mill is just crazy, and it was never going to happen. I do believe that Rory is open to discussions, and he probably has had discussions. Yeah, sorry, not probably. He has had discussions with some of the heads of the public investment fund, which finances Live Golf. He met with Yasser Al-Ramayan in Dubai, I believe it was late last year, and had a chat with him. But in terms of, he in his mind, sees the public investment fund and Live Golf as two separate things, and he's hoping to encourage some of that investment. But he doesn't want a bar of Live Golf, and that was just a ridiculous rumor. $850 million US dollars, mind you. So what's that, about 1.4 billion Aussie?
Wow.
So, yeah, definitely not happening. And it's kind of unfortunate that he had to come out and squash those rumors. But that's the rumor mill these days, with all these tracker accounts that follow Live Golf and whatnot, just start perpetuating it, start snowballing, and it gets to a point where the player has to deny it. So, yeah, it's a weird situation.
There was some talk about the Australian Open, and was it for the winner to be given exemptions to the majors that was chat around Augusta the other day?
Exactly, Mido. It was a guy called Paul McGinley, who was a winning European Ryder Cup captain, famous Irish player, you know, one of the really good players back in the 80s, 90s and early 2000s. And it was one of those great ideas that I thought, how has someone not come up with that sooner? It's kind of a bit of a magic bullet, you know. One of the biggest problems in pro golf at the moment is that, A, the best players in the world aren't getting together anymore that often, and, B, live golfers who have a fair income case to be in the majors, but the majors are based off the world rankings. They don't get world ranking points on live, so therefore their world ranking is plummeting. And it's kind of this magic bullet solution where you would take a select couple of national opens around the world, Australia included, and you would just say, look, the winner of this is getting starting all four majors next year. It would mean for the Australian Open that we would suddenly get these incredible fields. We're talking about superstars like Bryson DeChambeau. Next year is his last year where he's eligible for all of the majors based off his 2020 US Open win. You get guys like him coming down to Australia and going, yeah, I'll play in Melbourne, I'll play in Sydney. And if I win, I get into all four majors next year. Don't have to worry about all that kind of arduous travel. And at the same time, there would be no excuse for live golfers who complain that they're not in the majors, because the option would be there for anyone to travel around the world, win those tournaments, to get in the four majors. So it would kind of be a win-win for everyone. And an incredible idea. I spoke to the CEO of Golf Australia, James Sutherland, ex-Cricket Australia CEO, who was at the Masters, and I spoke to him on the 13th hole. We nearly got hit by a stray ball during the interview, and he encouraged it. He said, you know, we welcome these kind of ideas because it would boost our event, our tour, and it would sort of help solve some of those problems that exist in golf at the moment, and everyone would win. And God, I hope it happens, because it'd be incredible.
Evan, the women's first major of the year is about to tee off, the Chevron Championship. Have we got any Aussies going around in that, mate?
We do, Josh. We've got a record for this tournament, a number of Aussies. We've got 9 Australian women. The Australian women's game is so healthy at the moment. It's arguably doing much better than the men. We've got Minji Lee's a world number 5, and she's up. Yeah, it's really tough to be in the top world rankings at the moment, because there's a few players who are playing outstanding golf, including world number 1, Nelly Korda. But Minji Lee's really kicking some ass overseas. She's world number 5. She spearheads the contingent. And we've got Hannah Green, who's won a major as well. She's from Perth. So really doing, and we've got, you know, some young players coming through, like Gabby Ruffles, the younger sister of a pro called Ryan Ruffles. So they're playing the first major of the season for the women. That'll be a really exciting event in Texas, and we'll sort of see how our Aussie girls go.
Okay, Hilton Head there in South Carolina, the RBC Heritage, and once again, Scotty Scheffler is short. He was $5.50 heading into the Masters. He's $5 with Tab. Heading into this tournament, how are we playing it with Schauffele at 11, Åberg? How good was he in the Masters at 13, 15 and longer the rest? What bets have you got for us here, Evan?
Yeah, really good question, Mido. We've got Scotty Scheffler. I find it really surprising that it was someone who was saying that he would pull out of the Masters for his wife to give birth would then go and play the tournament the following week. But anyway, no one really ever wins the Masters in the week after that. So I'm definitely looking at Shane Lowry. He's had 3 top 10 finishes in 5 years at Hilton Head, the famous Harbour Town Golf Links with the lighthouse on the 18th. He's a really good, you know, horses for courses bet there. I also really like, had a bit of a mental blank there. Basically, Shane Lowry is one that I'm sort of looking at to win, looking at the top 10. His odds are quite good there. And your top Aussie is Cam Davis. And also Matt Fitzpatrick. Sorry, that was who I was blanking on. Matt Fitzpatrick from England, really good player, US Open champion. His odds are pretty decent for the defending champion. And this is a real place of comfort for him. His family used to take the the family from England over on vacation in Hilton Head Island in South Carolina every summer. So it's a real happy place for him. So I sort of can't decide whether who I'm going to go with top 10, who I'm going to win, but I basically back both to win and top 10. There'd be some decent odds there. And then you go with Cam Davis for your top Aussie.
Okay, love it. So Matt Fitzpatrick, Shane Lowry for your wins and top 10s. Cam Davis, top Aussie. Cam Davis, $51 to win the tournament as well. And in that top Aussie market, well, it's only he and Jason Day. And, well, Day's $1.85 Davis, and Davis is $1.90. But maybe Cam Davis has some top 10 action there as well. Mate, thank you so much. Safe travels home.
Thank you, Mido. Thank you, Josh. And I'll speak to you guys next week.